I did want to mention, we've mentioned in the past that there will be some disruption while construction is going on. And so please just be patient, and we will get through it. They're anticipating that they'll be finished mid-July. And so not every week will there be disruption. And after the next 2 weeks, there will be nothing that will be changing here in the sanctuary. So everything should be good to go. But we are looking forward to it because we are going to be adding technology and able to, of course, in 1954, there were no computers, there were no networks, there were no LED lights, there were no so many things that there were not. And so when they designed, if you have a house that was built around 1960 like I do, you know that everything was on one circuit. And if you blew, if you plugged in the iron in the basement and the hair dryer on the top floor, then you were going to blow the circuit. And so we're looking forward to being able to update and to be able to modernize here in the sanctuary that will better suit what we're doing. And so just be patient, and we will get through it as quickly as possible. If you have your Bibles, we're turning to the book of Hebrews. We're going to begin a new series this morning on making your life count. Making your life count. And this is Hebrews chapter 11. One of my favorite passages from Hebrews 11, because Hebrews 11 is sometimes called Faith's Hall of Fame, because the writer of Hebrews is encouraging believers that were under pressure to go back into Judaism. And he's writing to them all through the book of Hebrews to say, this is why Jesus is better than anything you'll find in the Old Testament. And then when he comes to chapter 11, he encourages them to say, you're facing some things, but there were people even in the Old Testament who faced things in their lives and triumphed. And so as he writes, he's encouraging them to say, you too can make it. And as we come to chapter 11, we're going to read about one of the best known men in the Bible, and that's Moses, verse 23 down to verse number 27. And if you'd read audibly with me, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Our subject today, as we look at ways, and we're going to be looking at lessons from well-known Old Testament characters on how to make your life count. Lessons we learn from them. And so our subject today is simply this: it's your choice. It's your choice. Let's pray and then we'll get right into it. Father, I thank you for the privilege of standing behind this pulpit today and to speak to this group of people. And I pray that you will enable me to speak with clarity. Lord, to speak with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lord, that you would be at work in our lives here today, that what would happen in the next few moments would not just be mere rhetoric, but that there will be a deep working of the Spirit and the Word together in our hearts that produces faith, that challenges us, Lord, that moves us ever closer to you. And this we thank you for in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. So we're going to be looking at extraordinary people who accomplished great things, who made an impact with their lives, and did just extraordinary things. We're going to be looking at not only what they did, but how does this translate from the pages of Scripture and ancient stories into my life today? Because it's one thing to know the story. It's another thing to be able to learn the lessons of the story. And what does this say to me living in the 21st century in the here and now? So I'm kicking off with Moses, one of the greatest pictures or men of the Old Testament. He led Israel out of Egypt after they had been there for 400 years and after they had been enslaved. He was up on Mount Sinai with God and received the Ten Commandments. And what an experience that must have been. He wrote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which we call the books of the law or the Torah. He wrote those under the inspiration of the Spirit. He was used in a bunch of different miracles. Can you imagine leading a group of people? They need water, and the Lord says, hit the rock with your staff, and water begins gushing out of the rock. I can't imagine. So many miracles that took place under the leadership of Moses. And you might look at those things and say, okay, my life is not like that. I am not leading a group of people, a large nation of people. I am not standing before kings. All of these things are extraordinary, and that is not where I'm at right now. But there are lessons that we learn because Moses had to make some choices. And success or failure in our lives is predicated on the choices that we make every day. Choices. He had to settle some key issues. First of all, the question of identity. And that's a question that we all have to settle. Who am I? The question of responsibility. What am I going to do with my life? Me. Taking charge. What am I going to do with my life? And then settling the issue of priority. What is really the most important thing in my life? What is it that really is at the center? That thing that defines everything else? Priority. And then finally, the question of difficulty. This is an important one. Because I can define priority, I can take responsibility, and I can decide who I am. But this next one, difficulty, simply means how much am I willing to commit of my life to get where I need to go? Because there are people who have grand dreams and there are people who have big schemes and ideas, but as soon as adversity hits, all of a sudden, all they want to do is just curl up into a ball and get in a dark closet somewhere. And let's be honest about this. When we look at our lives, there are times that everything flows really smoothly. You know, and you're walking on sunshine. It's great. The birds are chirping. It's marvelous. But then there are other times that it's thunder and lightning and hail and you know, the water's rising and you're wondering if you can just keep your head above it all. And thank the Lord, life's not always like that. But it happens. Job in the Old Testament said that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. He said it's going to come. So I also have to decide, how much am I willing to commit of myself to get to where I need to go? There are things that we all have to deal with. And as we look at the life of Moses, you're going to see choices. And we're going to look at several of those choices this morning. The first thing is this. That I need to discover what God made me to be. So we gather together this morning. We join together in common faith. We join together to worship Jesus. But we are all different. We're different. You know, Brother Brent and I are different from each other. I had to say that because somebody would come to me afterwards and say, yeah, you are different. And we're different from each other. Okay, that's a slow one. We are different from each other. Did you know I play the guitar? Who did that? Well then. I do. I can play G, F, D, C. And as long as you want it in the key of G, I'm your guy. I mean, I'm your guy. Oh, and no fast songs, please. Because it takes a little bit longer for me to get my fingers to go. How many of you play the guitar? Anybody play the guitar? Some of you play the guitar? Okay, it takes me a little longer to get my fingers to where they need to go. So a few years back, we were having a home group, a Spanish home group, and we didn't have any music, so I used to take my guitar and I'd practice songs, and I could play, but as long as they were in the key of G. If you play a guitar, you know G is the easy key to play in, and as long as I was there, I was good, and as long as it wasn't too fast and I could get my fingers moving, I was good. But then Brother Brent, you know, he gets up here and he makes it look so easy. He's got all, you know, fingers are flying and picks going. And you see, if I was trying to do that, the pick would be going one way and probably the guitar going this way. We have different talents. Different talents. And the beautiful thing about us is that God made every one of us different. And when we become Christians, we are not clones of each other. We want to be like Jesus in our character. But we are not clones of each other. And we are to be imitators of Christ. That involves character and action. But we have our unique personalities and our talents and our giftings. And so I need to discover the person that God made me to be. There are some people that see social injustice and it just triggers them. There are others that they are born to order. What I mean by that is they like everything just this way. You know, if there's one little thing out of place, they'll notice it. There are others that are just oblivious. And you know what? The person who is oblivious, you don't want to put them in charge of making sure everything is set up. You don't want them to do that. You want the person who is meticulous. Because they will make sure. They'll notice things that the other person won't. We all have different talents, different abilities. And Moses was born a Hebrew slave. He was raised as Pharaoh's grandson in the palace. He was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. And there came a point where he had to decide, am I Jewish or am I Egyptian? Am I a slave or am I royalty? And the consequences of that decision would affect everything else about his life going forward. Look at verse 24 of our text. He said, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That word refused means this. It means to disown, to reject, to leave no door open. It means that he said, I am making a final decision. He counted the cost. Life having everything or life possibly having nothing. And he made a decision. And Moses was not a perfect man. As a matter of fact, early in his life, Moses had anger issues. He had to deal with them through his life. See, he wasn't perfect. And there are things that we deal with through our life, but we don't deal with them the same way as Moses. See, Moses had to deal with his anger issue. He got so angry, he struck an Egyptian overseer and killed him. And then buried him in the sand and hoped nobody would find out. Yeah, good luck with that. Because there were those who were standing by and saw him. He still had to deal with that same issue later while leading the people of Israel Remember, he got angry at the people because of their complaining? And God said, speak to the rock. And Moses got so mad that instead of just speaking to it, he took his rod and struck it. He had to deal with that. And every one of us have different things that we have to deal with and make decisions about. But living in the time in which we live, we don't have to deal with them alone. But the Bible teaches us that the Holy Ghost will come alongside of us to help us deal with the issues that we struggle with in our personalities, in our emotions, in our everyday lives. That's the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is not just while we're here in church, but the work of the Spirit is to enable me to deal with the things that trouble me when I'm at work or at home or driving down the road. You see, I need God to help me with my anger issue, not when I'm in church. I need God to help me deal with my anger issues when I'm driving down the road and somebody cuts me off. I need Him then, not just now. I need Him to deal with frustration, not here in church, I hope. But I need Him to deal with frustration when my coworkers are acting like they're crazy or something. And I need God to give me patience in that moment. That's the work of the Spirit within our lives. That He doesn't only work on us in church, but He's at work within our lives 24/7. The second thing that we learn is to accept responsibility for my own life. And this is really huge. It means stop making excuses and blaming everybody else. Take responsibility for myself. You know, we live in a time where there's a whole culture of, almost a culture of blame. Well, I am this way, and I will always be this way because my father was this way. I will be this way because my third grade teacher or a friend. And I don't want to belittle the impact that things that have happened in our past have on every one of us. But I also know that there is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ to change the way that I am, so that I am not held prison or captive to my past. But the Bible teaches us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. There is power in what Jesus can do. It doesn't mean I'm not impacted by those things, but I can choose to be different through Jesus. But to do that, I've got to stop blaming. I'd make something out of myself if it wasn't for everybody around me. No, it's not everybody around us, it's us. It's about taking personal responsibility. Look at verse 25 in the New Living of Hebrews 11. He chose to share the oppression of God's people. Notice that first part. He chose. He made a decision. Turning from the palace to a group of slaves who were often ungrateful. He made a decision. Success in life starts with decisions. Success in spiritual life starts with decisions. The very first decision is whether or not I will recognize Jesus Christ as Lord in my life. That's the very first decision. And that is a decision. And so success begins with He chose. If you want to make an impact, it comes with your choice. See, for every one of us, you are as close to God as you choose to be. You say, well, I don't know if that's true. Here's the thing about it. If I choose to pray an hour a day, and I do that, I'm going to become closer to God. If I choose not to pray at all, I'm certainly not going to be in the place where God would want me to be. If I choose to make worship a priority in my life, I am choosing to give myself opportunities to express worship to God and to be strengthened by worship together. That's a choice. We just finished up New Through 30, if you completed it, please put your name on the list on the bulletin board. But when it comes to Bible reading, I read the Bible as much as I choose to. We say, I am extremely busy, but you see, we carve out time for the things that are important for us. We make choices about how we spend our time and what is a priority within my life. And God's given us that freedom of choice. And the choices that we make will determine our future. In verse 24, Moses refuses. In verse 25, he chooses. And the interesting thing about Moses is when Moses was a baby, God chose him. And when you look at the life of Moses, refusing, choosing. There was a negative, a turning away from, but there also was a positive, a choosing, a turning towards. And Christian life is like that. There is a turning from. The Bible teaches us that we turn from sin, that we turn from the negative things around us. And then there's the positive, that we turn to God. And that we point our direction in God's direction. And so there was a negative, but followed by a positive. God chose Moses when he was young, but Moses had to choose God as well. He chose. And a mark of maturity in our lives is when we start accepting responsibility for our own lives. As a baby, it was okay for Moses to live off of his parents' faith. But there came a point when he grew up, he had to develop his own faith. If you're blessed to grow up in a family that knows the Lord and has Christian values, you are truly blessed. But you can't make it to heaven because your parents knew Jesus. You won't make it to heaven because you had a praying grandmother. You will only make it because you make a choice to choose God. That's a choice that every one of us have to make for ourselves. And that's not a choice made on emotion. That is a choice that is made in the will, not the emotion. Because between you and I, there are sometimes that if you're a follower of Jesus, there are sometimes that you will feel like you are well and truly saved and heaven is just an inch away. But then there are other times that your emotions will tell you that you are well and truly lost and you haven't done anything wrong, but your emotions will tell you that you just might just well give up because heaven is a million miles away and you aren't going there. That's what your emotions will do. But Moses made a choice. And when things were going well, he stuck to his choice. And when things were not going well, he stuck to his choice. And a simple secret to success in Christian living is when I've decided to follow Jesus, it's a decision that I made and I have no intention of changing my mind. When things go well, I made a decision to follow Jesus and praise the Lord. When things don't go well, I made a decision I'm following Jesus and praise the Lord anyhow. I'm going to come through this some way. A decision that we make. I can't live off somebody else's commitment. I can't blame others for the direction of my life. I choose. And if my life is going to be ruined, it'll be the decisions that I make. The third thing that Moses did and that we have to do. He established a value system for his life. He settled the issue of what is really important to me. And that's a challenge that all of us face in our lives. What is first priority in my life? Now, this scripture won't be on the screen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. It's been one of our key verses around here that we quote often. Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." In the verses just before that, he's talking about don't worry about this and don't worry about that. And then he says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Or make a priority of the work of God within your life. And this is a challenge of faith. This is a question of faith. Because it's a question of, do I dare to trust God enough to believe that if I put Him first in everything, that He will help me with everything else in life? And I can tell you from experience that when you put God first, God has a way of working out the details in your life. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And here's what happens in our busy schedules. We start out saying, I want to put God first. It's going to be a priority. But then, life intrudes. Our schedule intrudes. Our commitments intrude. Making a living intrudes. And if we're not careful, that priority that we set becomes lost. And it's not because we made a decision to say, I'm going to put God in second or third place. It just happens over time. He said, seek ye first. Moses in Hebrews 11, verse 26. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. In the New Living, he said he thought it was better. That means he evaluated. He considered. It wasn't just a rash decision. It was a values decision. He thought. And if you don't decide what's important in life, what you're going to base your life on, other people will do it for you. You know, in the world, the Bible speaks about all that is in the world. And I'm going to paraphrase it with just some things that John talks about the world being. But in the world, power and prestige is a huge thing. The desire to be famous. There's pleasure to feel good, be happy, have fun, enjoy things. Actually, to an extreme where if I'm not having fun or if I'm not joyful, then even if it's a relationship, that's it, that's all, forget it. There's possessions. I want to be wealthy, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to have things until it becomes a priority in our lives. And if you look at Moses, Moses had every one of these things. He was Pharaoh's grandson, adopted grandson. Today, he would have been driving a Ferrari around the streets of Cairo. He'd be that guy. He'd be jet-setting around the world wherever he wanted to go because grandpa's got money. That was the position he was in. He had servants. He had everything. If he wanted to go to a 5-star Michelin-rated restaurant, he could do it. Fly in, eat, fly out. That, he could do it if it was today. He had possessions. And yet, Moses had it all and he walked away from it. And it wasn't because possessions was bad. It wasn't because being in a position of influence was bad. It wasn't because power and prestige are necessarily bad. It was because in that situation, it was incompatible with who he felt God called him to be. I'm going to go a little different direction than what I had planned just for a moment this morning. But there are some times, if you're a follower of Jesus, that you will have to make decisions about things that are not necessarily evil, but that are incompatible with who God calls you to be. And that's what happens if you put Jesus at the forefront of your priority list. See, it may be a job that offers way more money, but it's going to cut into my spiritual life. And it's going to be a problem. Is there anything wrong with the job? Not necessarily, but is it right for me? Is it right for what I'm doing with God? It's a question. And in Moses' case, he had to look at it all and say, there is something that is worth more than all of this. And that is to fulfill God's purpose within my life. That is to be what God called me to be. And that's a decision that we have to look at within our lives. Because Moses said yes to God. And you realize that when you say yes to God, it means that there are some things you have to say no to. There are some decisions that you have to make. Sometimes it's easier to say yes to God than it is to say no to other things. And that's a question of values. That's why we talk often about seek first the kingdom of God. Put Jesus first and allow Him to give direction in every area of life. Because what Moses saw was this. As you look at this scripture, it said he was looking ahead to his great reward. He said, I see something more important in my life than simply having possessions and power and prestige and all of those things. Jesus gave us a warning about this. In Matthew 6:24, he said, no man can serve two masters. For he will hate the one and love the other. Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. Either Jesus is Lord of everything or you're going to have a problem. And I'm talking about a depth of relationship. I'm talking about a depth of commitment to the Lord. It doesn't mean you become some kind of spiritual hermit. It doesn't. It'll make you different from everybody else in the world. Because your values and your decisions will not be driven by expediency or what feels good in the moment, but they'll be driven by eternity that waits for me ahead. Choosing. Choosing. Choices that we make that form who we are and what direction we will go. Learning to be able to say no and to say it with conviction and with passion. We look at Moses. I want to touch on some things about Moses really quickly. Some things about Moses and his value system that he discovered. Number one, he discovered that God's purpose is more important than popularity. God's purpose is more important than popularity. We all like to be popular. We all like to have people like us. I like it. I mean, I'll freely admit, I like for people to like me. And if you don't like me, you don't have to tell me. It's okay. Just let me live in my... You know, it's okay. Just smile on the way out, shake my hand. Let me live in my bubble. We all like for people to like us. You know what I've discovered as a pastor? I've discovered that there are times when I have to make decisions based on values and leading the church. I have to make decisions based on values that there are sometimes, this is amazing to me. There are people who really didn't like the decision and got mad. And I look at it and I say, well, if it's based on the decision and not just based on that they don't like me personally, then we're good. Because there are decisions that you have to make based on values that are more important than popularity. You see, it's more important to be popular with God than it is to be popular with people. Now, I know I'm not preaching a shouting message this morning, but you need to remember that. It's more important to be right with God than it is to have everybody else around you applaud you. And that means that there are going to be times that you're going to be called on to make hard value decisions. And there are going to be people who will pressure and people who will squeeze you and people who will not like it. But remember, they didn't like Jesus either. And it's more important to be popular with God, to be right with God, than it is to be popular with people. And in those decisions, you'll find who really respects you and who really is your friend. That's what you'll discover. The second thing is that people are more important than pleasures. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction, who with? With the people of God. He could have bypassed the whole slavery thing. He could have just continued on in the palace and cashed, I don't know if they had checks back then, cashed the check. But instead, he looked at God's people. And he said, somebody has got to do something. And for every one of us, there will be things in our lives that we look at and we say, somebody has got to do something. But something will drive us that one step further that says, and it's got to be me. You know, it's easy to say somebody's got to do something. But it's when it comes to that point of decision that says, and I'm willing to let it be me. He chose discomfort over pleasure because it was the right thing to do. The third thing, he realized that God's peace is more valuable than possessions. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. In verse 24, he rejected the measure of the world's success. He rejects the world's pleasure, and he rejects the treasure of the world. And he does it because God's peace is more important than possessions. Peace does not come from the things that you own. Now, I believe that God wants to prosper his people. I do. I believe that when we honor God with our giving, and we work hard, I believe God wants to prosper his people. Now, that doesn't always come with the number of zeros in your bank account, but I believe God wants to prosper his people. I believe that. If God blesses you with finance and you're being generous to give to the poor and you're being generous to help others, hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as our finance doesn't own us. See, I believe that God will prosper his people. I believe there's nothing wrong with that. And I get blessed. I get blessed when I see what God does in people's lives when they begin to follow him and how he lifts us. And he blesses us. But we need to realize it is more important to have the peace of God than it is to have possessions. Just look at the number of very popular, wealthy people who struggle with issues and even take their own lives, having everything that you could possibly want and be able to buy. Because God's peace is more important than possessions. And Moses had that kind of perspective. Thought it better to suffer for Christ, to do the right thing. And then finally, I want to close with this. The last thing that Moses did, and this is something important for us, never take your eyes off the goal. Never take your eyes off the goal. In verse 27, the New Living, it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. You know what that tells me? That through the ups and downs of life, what kept Moses going was not whether things were going well right now. It was that he had his eyes lifted to see someone that others could not see. And this is my last point this morning. If you want to make an impact for Jesus, if you want to be successful in Christian life, and if you want to keep centered, then the center of your focus has got to be lifted above materialism. It's got to be lifted above people. It's got to be lifted above the things around us. And it's got to be that I've got my eyes fixed on eternity. I've got my eyes fixed on God. I know what I'm looking forward to. And this is something that's extremely important. You know, in the world, in life, successful people are focused people. I like reading about entrepreneurs and reading how they bootstrap their company and the things that they've done. And the one thing that I see about them was they had a vision that everything else was less important than. I mean, some of them would sell their houses. They'd beg and borrow wherever they could to get funds because they believed in a dream. And they were willing to focus whatever they to get to the fulfillment of that dream. And usually that involved making money or making a difference. I thought about that. And I thought, you know what? That's what Jesus is calling us to do. The very same thing. The same thing that the Steve Jobses and the Mark Zuckerbergs and all the rest have done. But he's calling us to do it for an eternal purpose. That my focus is not just on making money. If I make money, bless the Lord. But that's not my focus. If I'm popular with people, bless the Lord, but that's not my focus. If you reach the pinnacle of your profession, bless the Lord, but that can't be the focus. All those things, there's nothing wrong with those things. But the principle that Moses discovered was the thing that kept him going when he was in the wilderness, the thing that kept him going when he was leading a bunch of people who didn't want to be led, was he was looking over the heads of those who were complaining to see the invisible. I close with one last scripture. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm closing with this. Music, come back, please. Paul wrote just after our passage that we read this morning and said, since we are surrounded by such a crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Let's be lean, mean machines. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. So you got to deal with sin. You can't carry it around. You can't keep it. That's a decision. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And here's the key. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Now, I know you cannot see Jesus right now. But he's speaking of keeping Jesus at the forefront of our thinking of who we are, what we are. And letting the filter of our values and decisions be what will honor Jesus first of all. And then when life gets hard, I'm looking to Jesus and I know that Jesus has already gone before me and I can make it through. When I'm going through the good time, I'm looking unto Jesus so I don't forget in the middle of all the good things that I'm enjoying. It's Jesus at the center of it all. And this morning as we stand together, I want to ask the question, what are you living for? What is your priority? What is your first priority? Is it Jesus? Is it pleasing Him? You might be here this morning and you made a commitment to the Lord months or years ago. But if you're honest with yourself, your priorities have gotten skewed. If you're really honest, you'd have to tell yourself that Jesus isn't at the center. He's off center just a bit. But I've come here this morning to challenge every one of us that if we're going to make an impact, if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to be the followers of Christ that can make an impact in our world, it's got to be Jesus at the center. It's got to be that choice that we make. When we had children, we made choices about our children. We made choices to safeguard that we wanted them to grow up to know the Lord, love the church, and love Jesus. So we made conscious decisions about things. We make them in different areas of our lives. And we've got to make them about our faith. And we've got to make them about moving forward in our faith. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me as we pray. I feel the Holy Ghost here today, the presence of God. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning, but I'm going to just ask you if you'd let God speak into your life today. It may be that there's been a nagging little voice in the back of your conscience that's been speaking to you, and you've been trying to just avoid or put walls up, but God's speaking to you about something in your life. Today, it's the time to make those choices that will affect the rest of life. Lord Jesus, as we're here today, we sense your presence and we know that you're here. We ask and invite you to move in our hearts, in our lives. Lord, that you would bring direction and clarity, and Lord, that you would, if you're not at the center of our lives, that you would speak to us about it, Lord, that we can remedy that and get you back where you ought to be. Lord, I pray for the youngest to the oldest here today. Lord, that more than just my words, that you would speak to us. That you would challenge us. And God, that you would move in us today. Lord, and this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As we get ready to sing, we're going to have a prayer time. And I'd like to invite you, if you're needing to make a decision and to get closer to God, I want to invite you to come and stand here. We'll pray with you. If you've already made that decision and you say, Pastor, I'm doing pretty good, I want you to come and pray too. And pray with somebody. There's power when we pray together. And as we sing, I want to open the altar for prayer. I want to invite, we can kick the seats back a little bit, and we've got room to come and pray together as we conclude our service, to let Jesus not only speak to us through His Word, but let Jesus speak to us by